This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica stations. Senate Democrats and Republicans are in a major confrontation over the Supreme Court nomination of Neil Gorsuch. Precedent demands that nominees receive at least 60 votes to be confirmed to the nation's highest court. But Democrats, bitter that President Obama's nominee, Merrick Garland, would not even receive a hearing last year, have decided to filibuster the vote. Their progressive constituents have offered strong grassroots support for such action, pointing out Gorsuch's dangerous viewpoints. Now, Republicans plan to use the so-called nuclear option, which would change nomination requirements to a simple majority, overturning precedent. Ari Berman is my guest. He's a contributing writer for The Nation magazine and an investigative journalism fellow at The Nation Institute. He's written several books, including Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. And he recently wrote an article in The Nation entitled The Democratic Filibuster of Neil Gorsuch is On. Welcome to the show, Ari.
Hey, thank you, Sonali.
So we are talking just like within an hour of the Democrats having made this decision. Are you surprised that they came together?
I'm not surprised. I think the fact that Gorsuch himself, although he seemed like a reasonable guy, was extremely conservative. The fact that Republicans refused to even hold a hearing for Merrick Garland and made him wait 321 days. The fact that Gorsuch himself at his hearings was not very forthcoming. The fact that Donald Trump is now under FBI investigation for potentially colluding with Russia. I think all of these things came together to give Democrats no choice but to try to stand together and oppose Gorsuch. I think they knew that this would be a doomed effort because Republicans would do everything it takes to confirm him. But nonetheless, it was a fight that had to be waged.
And in the days leading up to this procedural vote on Thursday, some Democrats were wavering. It wasn't clear. There were a lot of arguments on both sides of whether they should or shouldn't filibuster, some of which you addressed in your article in The Nation. And one of the justifications for holding off was that, well, you know, there might be a bigger fight coming up when, during Trump's administration, someone else from the Supreme Court might step down, and the Democrats should sort of save their political capital for that fight. They seem to not have been moved by those arguments. Any idea why?
Well, I have no doubt that Mitch McConnell wouldn't blink for a second about going nuclear if there was another Supreme Court vacancy. Remember, Republicans invented a completely new argument to oppose Merrick Garland, that you couldn't confirm a nominee in the last year of his presidency or during an election year, both of which were completely ludicrous. On seven different occasions since the 1900s, Supreme Court nominees have been confirmed in the last year of an election or during an election year. And so if Republicans wouldn't even hold Merrick Garland, wouldn't even give Merrick Garland a hearing, it's very clear that they would do everything they can to appoint the next Supreme Court nominee, particularly if someone like Justice Kennedy or one of the liberal justices ends up retiring. Then Republicans have the ability through a 6-3 court to overturn things like Roe v. Wade. So the next vacancy will be an even bigger deal than the current one, which restores the status quo prior to Justice Scalia's death. And so the idea that you can trust Mitch McConnell to honor a deal, I think it's completely ludicrous, and I think Senate Democrats realized that, and they had to fight him now.
And Republicans seem to have upped the ante continuously, particularly during the Obama years. In a way, does it seem as though the Democrats really had no choice strategically but to do this? They have nothing to lose, right?
They have nothing to lose, and I think the Democrats really blew it in 2016 by not making a bigger deal of Gorsuch being blocked, not trying to do everything they could to confirm him at the time.
They assumed that Clinton would be elected?
They assumed Hillary would win and she would just take care of it. And that was a ridiculous assumption, given that Obama had the constitutional power. But even if you believe that Clinton would win, she should have made the Supreme Court a much bigger issue in the campaign. We now have data that a lot of evangelicals didn't like Trump, but they voted for him because of the Supreme Court, whereas a lot of progressive Democrats were wavering on Clinton, even though they had the ability to shape the future of the Supreme Court for the next 40 to 50 years. So I hope the Gorsuch fight makes Democrats understand the importance of the courts, talk about it more, and say one of the reasons why we need a Democratic Senate in 2018, one of the reasons why we need to flip the presidency in 2020 is so that we can get control of the courts again. Because the right has used this argument for decades, ever since Roe v. Wade, and Democrats and progressives have taken the courts for granted and ignored them, even as we've gotten decisions like Citizens United and the gutting of the Voting Rights Act.
Right, and you've written extensively about voting rights in the United States. The Republicans are throwing up their hands and saying, we don't understand why the Democrats wouldn't just confirm such a reasonable nominee. They are portraying Neil Gorsuch as a very acceptable, albeit conservative, reasonable, eminently qualified nominee. Is he?
Well, I think first you have to start off with the fact that nobody was more qualified and nobody was more reasonable than Merrick Garland. President Obama specifically chose the most qualified and the most centrist nominee possible. He could have chosen someone far younger. He could have chosen someone far more progressive. Instead, he chose Merrick Garland so that he could get Republican support, even though no Republican support was forthcoming. But Neil Gorsuch is far more conservative than Merrick Garland. Many people believe he'll be another Scalia on the court. He's certainly an originalist in point of view. He's very socially conservative. He's very economically conservative. He has many ties to the far right, to big conservative billionaires. So I think he will be a reliably conservative vote. Some people I've talked to believe he'll be even more conservative than Scalia. Scalia was at times a bit iconoclastic. So I don't expect anything but the worst from this nomination. He seems reasonable, like I said. He seems well qualified. He seems to have a good personality. He looks the part, but his ideology is a very radical one. And indeed, that's why the Federalist Society and the Heritage Foundation pushed Donald Trump to nominate him. And that's why Donald Trump chose him and why so many conservatives are happy with the nomination.
That's right. I mean, basically, there were lobbyists spending a lot of money on his behalf to defeat Merrick Garland from even getting a hearing and to get Gorsuch nominated. Now, the issue of Democrats having chosen the filibuster option. I mean, to me, it is a little bit surprising because the Democrats haven't shown much of a spine in recent years. How much role do you think grassroots opposition to Gorsuch played? Over the past week, we'd seen events around the country under the banner of the People's Filibuster and a lot of activity and activism.
Well, I think Democratic spine is growing. I think if you look at the failure of the health care bill, which wasn't just about Republican defections, but the fact that Democrats made so many calls against that bill. I think if you look at the Russia inquiry, which keeps deepening, I think Democrats smell blood in the water here. And their base wants them to fight Trump on everything. They don't want them to capitulate to the administration, to Senate Republicans. Democrats want to fight, and they want to have as many contrasts as possible when it comes to 2018 and 2020. So I think Democrats are following their base more than they followed it in 2016. I think that the posture of the Democratic Party now is far more aggressive and adversarial to Donald Trump than it was even when Trump was elected. And to me, that's a good sign. We have to remember the limits of their power. They don't control the House. They don't control the Senate. They don't control most states. There's not that much they can do. Some of these fights have to be symbolic. But I think the energy can take them a long way.
And going back to Gorsuch and what we know about the kind of Supreme Court justice he would be, during his hearings, he played his cards very close to his chest and, in fact, didn't say much about some of the issues that we should have heard from him on in order to really determine whether he was as reasonable as Republicans claim, right?
Well, I found his attitude to be very distasteful, especially in light of what happened with Merrick Garland, because Gorsuch basically pretended that this entire process was normal, but it's not normal. He wouldn't even have been up for confirmation if it hadn't been for the fact that Republicans blocked Merrick Garland. So I think at the very least he should have said, I understand your frustrations. I understand what happened to Merrick Garland. I believe he was qualified. I believe he should have been confirmed, which Gorsuch said, more or less. And then he should have said that I'm going to tell you about my views and why I believe that I'm a consensus pick, someone that should be confirmed with bipartisan support to the court. But he didn't do that. He was very defensive. He was very cagey. He said very little about his ideology. But we know, I mean, we know based on his own record, we know about things he did before he was a judge, when he worked in the Bush administration, for example, in private practice. We know about the people that have pushed so hard for him that he will be a reliable conservative vote on the court, someone who could be to the right of John Roberts, certainly could be right around Justice Scalia. And so many of the biggest decisions on the Supreme Court have been 5-4 decisions in recent years, whether it was Bush versus Gore, or whether it was the gutting of the Voting Rights Act, or whether it was Citizens United, or Hobby Lobby, or Heller. All of these things were 5-4 decisions. So having a 5-4 court matters tremendously, and lots of things have been blocked by the lower courts, like, for example, voting restrictions in North Carolina and Texas that can now be overturned by a conservative Supreme Court. So I'm extremely worried about what's going to happen now.
Now, let's talk about the filibuster itself. Republicans are up in arms that the Democrats have chosen to do this, but wasn't it the Republican Party that really threatened filibuster use so much during the Obama administration that, in a way, they've created a precedent for this?
Well, if you look at the data, Republican obstruction has been far worse than Democratic obstruction. And that's what led Democrats to get rid of the filibuster for lower court nominees, right? Even though Republicans still have blocked many of President Obama's nominees. There's over 100 vacancies on the federal courts now that Donald Trump is going to try to fill. So the data shows two things. One is that Republicans have opposed Democratic nominees far more often than Democrats have opposed Republican nominees, and that the judges that Democrats have nominated have been far more centrist and conciliatory than the judges that Republicans have nominated. So Donald Trump has already said he's not going to submit his nominees for American Bar Association approval, so they won't be able to rate those nominees anymore, which is really alarming. It looks like we're about to see not just Gorsuch, but a whole series of federal courts be stacked by very conservative and possibly unqualified Trump nominees. And that really matters because just look at the Muslim ban. The fact that both Republican and Democratic judges have blocked that law. Now you're going to have Trump nominees who soon enough will be ruling on things like that.
So if the Republicans use their nuclear option, so-called nuclear option, like they've promised to, what is now needed for them to confirm Gorsuch to the court is 51 votes, right?
Yeah, 51 votes. And again, that wouldn't be a big deal if that was the standard for every nomination, but it hasn't been the standard. We know that Merrick Garland never even got a hearing. We know that all the other court nominations of the Supreme Court have required 60 votes. And indeed, John Roberts and Alito, all of those people cleared that threshold. So it shouldn't have been that hard for Donald Trump to find someone who could have been able to get 60 votes, but he didn't do that. He nominated someone who was extremely conservative and also not at all forthcoming about his views. Someone like Merrick Garland, in the normal course of things, would have been confirmed very, very easily. He was an absolutely consensus pick. So I think now what's going to have to happen is two things. Number one, Democrats are really going to have to focus on winning more Senate seats to be able to impact this process. And there has to be more pressure on moderate Republicans, people like Susan Collins of Maine or Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, people who are pro-choice and don't want to see Roe v. Wade overturned, people like John McCain, who weren't happy about abolishing the nuclear option. They need to feel more pressure now going forward if someone like Justice Kennedy retires and is replaced by someone potentially who's a lot more conservative.
And I should just mention that some of our audience may be watching this program or listening to it after the vote has taken place on Friday. But for those who are listening to it before, is there any chance that Gorsuch wouldn't be able to harness even 51 votes?
No, not at this point. There have been no Republican defections, so it's very, very difficult to imagine.
Now, the Republicans warned that if Democrats filibuster this time around, it's going to make it much harder for future Supreme Court nominees. But isn't the nuclear option by the Republicans going to make it much harder for Republicans in the future, particularly if the Democrats retake Congress and or the presidency?
Well, you certainly think so. And so it's a double-edged sword. I mean, this is why the nuclear option had been abolished for so many years, is because both parties were wondering what would happen if the shoe was on the other foot.
That's why it's called the nuclear option, right? Mutual
destruction. That's why it's called the nuclear option, exactly. I think that Republicans feel good about their Senate chances in 2018 because there's a number of red state Democrats that have to defend their seats in West Virginia, in North Dakota, and other places. But again, 2020... I don't see, if you're a Republican, how you can feel that confident about Donald Trump's reelection at this point. Obviously, it's a long way away. A lot of things could happen. But if you just look at Trump's approval rating, there's a very good chance that the White House could flip in 2020. And then the shoe is on the other foot. And Democrats can then confirm their nominee with 51 votes. But I just think, given everything that Republicans have done, whether it's blocking Merrick Garland, or the voter suppression in the states or all the gerrymandering they've done. They've thwarted the will of the people over and over and over again. And I think you can only view the Gorsuch vote in that context. You can't just look at it as one vote. It has to be viewed in the context of everything else Republicans have done that got us here.
And some special elections taking place in the next few months to fill seats left by members of Congress that are in the Trump cabinet now. Do those indicate to you, at least polling, does polling indicate to you that there's enough anti-Trump sentiment in even some traditionally red places that could be flipped blue?
I think we're gonna find out soon. There's certainly more energy and organizing going on in these districts than there have been in the past. I mean, the Georgia district where John Ossoff is running is not considered really a Democratic seat. It's a very Republican seat. But nonetheless, there has been a lot of energy pouring into that race. And so I think we're seeing that places that were not quite as competitive are becoming more competitive. I also think we have to be a little cautious because some of these seats, like in Kansas, for example, are very conservative. And Trump is still popular among Republicans. He still has an 80% or higher approval rating among Republicans. So Democrats aren't going to flip every House district. They're not going to flip every open seat. But I think there's enough energy in organizing at this point to try to flip 24 seats and get the House back in 2018.
Well, Ari, finally, the symbolism of the filibuster is just that, right? Symbolism. There will not actually be a filibuster because the Republicans are going to change the rules and make it a simple majority, right?
Yeah, so there'll be no filibuster for the Supreme Court and no filibuster for the lower courts as well. So I think that we're going to see a lot of Trump nominees rush through the Senate now. And I think this is something that Democrats need to start paying a lot more attention to. It can't just be all about the Congress. It can't just be all about Trump or all about the Russia investigation. The courts now are a central fight in this new administration.
Thank you so much, as always, Ari, for joining us. We'll post a link to your article in thenation.com from our website later today.
Great. Thanks, Sonali.
My guest is Ari Berman. He's a contributing writer for The Nation magazine and an investigative journalism fellow at The Nation Institute. He's the author of Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. And his article in The Nation is entitled The Democratic Filibuster of Neil Gorsuch is On. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. And also, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.